You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 186, and we're recording this on the 3rd of January 2017, and it's going live within 2 or 3 days. So if you're listening to this in real time, Happy New Year for 2017. And if you're going back through the archives years into the future and you've stumbled upon this one, well, the information's always relevant. Instead of a guest today, I've chosen to bring you 3 articles that I've written during the past year that have a kind of common theme. And the theme I've picked is, this is the beginning of a new year, is how dreams relate to what we manifest in our lives. So we're coming at it from a number of different angles, and you may be sitting there having made New Year resolutions, you may be sitting there having made New Year intentions, you may be sitting there having done nothing at all about the New Year, but just being interested in dreams in general. But, you know, there are some questions around dreams. How much of what we dream and looking at dreams reflects what's going to happen in our lives? Are there ways we can look at our dreams and change what's going to happen in our lives? Are there ways that we can think about what we want to happen in our lives and use our dreams to create that? Might our dreams give us warnings about what might happen in our lives that we don't want to happen in our lives? These are many more, including the kind of magical things that our dreams can enlighten us and relate to us, that change the way that our lives manifest. So manifestation and dreams is a kind of loose, but I hope inspirational and informative thread behind today's show. So we're starting with an article that I wrote in October 2016 called The Path of Resistance. I resisted. I struggled. I thought the task would be too tough. No part of me really wanted to do it. My heart counseled no. I have other creative projects that bring me joy, and shouldn't we follow our bliss? And questions of bliss aside, was it really necessary to do this thing? For a couple of days, I convinced myself it wasn't necessary, and my heart felt the relief. Surely this is a good thing. I then had the classic dream of walking with heavy legs, glue feet, dragging myself through viscous air, every step a huge effort, gaining me only a few centimetres while everyone around me walked with ease. This used to be a recurring dream theme for me when I was much younger. It was odd to find myself back there, in the thick of resistance, conscious or unconscious. My resistance to the task was beautifully dreamed in metaphor, but I didn't recall enough detail to identify the deeper, perhaps unconscious cause of my resistance. Doubt? Fear? Burnout? If I were to take the follow your bliss approach or the listen to your heart approach, each of which are fabulous tools for navigation, I might have happily dropped the task there and then. If I were to follow a popular approach to dream interpretation and ask what guidance my dream was offering or what my dream was telling me to do, I might have decided to drop the task, release the heaviness, listen to the resistance of my soul, follow a lighter path. But that's not the way I approach dreams. My research and decades of experience in working with dreams informs that dreams do not offer guidance or tell us what to do. They show us what is. They reflect our conscious and unconscious mindset back to us. They reveal our patterns, our beliefs, our emotions, our experiences, our limited thinking, our personal perceptions, our unique wiring, the big picture of the self as it sits at the time of each dream. My dream was accurate. I was resisting majorly. But was I resisting something that would actually be good for me to do? The dream invited me to explore my resistance, to examine the underlying factors, to take time to replenish and re-energize, and to decide what to do. I had the inside information all laid out in my dream, making it easier for me to make a decision, to take guidance from exploring the insight gifted by my dream, rather than to look for a guiding message in the dream. I also did dream alchemy. Once awake, I visualized myself walking that dream road, but easily, with lightness, and with uplifting, refreshing breezes to carry me forward. I summoned up a feeling of excitement and expansion in contrast to the resistance and restriction I felt in the dream. And I left the dream alchemy to communicate with my unconscious mind and do its transformational magic. The next day, I realized the task was necessary. The thought of it being complete felt exciting and expansive. My heart counseled me yes. My inner bliss meter voted in favor. I still thought the task would be tough, but I trusted in the dream alchemy to take me through. Like housework and other necessary toils, this was a job that needed to be done, and done by me. And like housework and other necessary toils, I decided to make it meditative, to focus on the deeper reason for doing the work, to polish my soul by taking the alchemical challenge. So I sat down and began. And within 5 minutes, I was in the blissful flow, surprised by the ease of the task and the creative buzz it delivered. By the time it was complete, I realized how absolutely vital this task was and could hardly believe that only a couple of days before, I had convinced myself that it didn't need to be done and that it didn't fit with my bliss. By now, you must be wondering about the task. I've painted a picture of immense difficulty, which is exactly what we do when we resist and duck and dive, isn't it? You'll laugh, I know you will, but here it is. The task was to write a multiple choice test for people completing the e-learning course, How to Interpret Your Dreams, that will be launching soon. It's a self-test, you do it, it gives you a score, you get to find out how much you have or haven't learned. At the time of writing the article, we were mid-filming the videos for the course, and you'll hear all about it soon. But thanks to a dream and dream alchemy, I'm back in the creative flow and loving it. So that was the article, and we are now actually on the very, very verge of releasing that e-learning course. And it will probably be released within 2 or 3 weeks. We're just getting some testing done of the website that is being produced to deliver this and all the other courses that we're going to be bringing you this year. The courses are have videos and downloadable materials and, of course, this multiple choice test and all sorts of other things. So watch and listen on, you know, my blog at janetheresa.com or my Facebook account for details of the launch, or send me a private email or contact me through my site if you want to be one of the first people to hear about the course and all the other courses that are about to be released very soon. So there you go. That was one take at manifestation from dreams using dream alchemy. Now, the second take on this is an article that I wrote in September called Lens Flare or Divine Light. It's lens flare, says the scientist. It's synchronicity, says the mystic. It's divine, says the shaman. It's alchemy, says the alchemist. It belongs in the fifth chapter, says the author. Let's see what my dreams make of this, says the dream analyst. That's me, scientist, mystic, shaman, alchemist, author, and dream analyst, though probably not in that order. And that's me in the picture. There was a picture with this blog, so I'm going to pause now and describe the picture to you. The picture, which you can find if you actually go to my blog and look in September 2016 for this blog that I'm reading to, and you'll see it there. But the picture is me in the back garden. And as the article goes on, I'll describe the picture and the circumstances a bit more. So I'm in the back garden, and I'm holding a basket of eggs, as you'll hear. And as the picture was taken, we had what might have been lens flare or might have been divine light. Who knows? We're going on to discuss this coming into the picture. So what you actually see in the picture is me in the garden holding this basket of stone eggs and what looks like an amazing arc of light, a huge ray of light coming from the heavens, landing right in the middle of my basket of stone eggs with me gazing up as if I'm actually looking at this ray of light. So that's the picture. If you can evoke a memory of that, if not, go on my blog and look up September 2016 and you'll see it. So back to the article. And that's me in the picture taken by a Samsung smartphone under the lemon tree in our garden last week. But what is the light that found its way into the shot? It's the backstory that sends tingles up the spine, whatever the source of light, and that's why the photographer, Erin McDonald, leapt back when she looked at the image moments after taking the shot. When Rin and her business partner Cordelia Vecchio arrived at my house for the photo shoot, I invited them to scout the place for locations and props and began by showing them my basket of eggs, thinking they'd make an interesting photo. I had stories to tell about those stone eggs and thought a photo or two would come in handy. I collected the egg-shaped pebbles several decades ago when I was pregnant with my first child, my daughter Rowan. We were holidaying in the Orkney Islands, a small archipelago off the north coast of Scotland, and I wanted to take something of Orkney home with me, more than a memento, more of a totem or connection to the magical energy I had felt around the Orkney Islands from the very first time I had visited the place a few years before. I'm not a hoarder or a great collector. I keep some mementos and I love being surrounded by beautiful things, but I live quite lightly. I have lived on four continents and moved house more times than I can count, but those pebble eggs are still with me and always placed somewhere prominent in my home. How about these as a prop? I said to Cordelia. They're stone eggs from Orkney, and the basket they're in is an Orkney basket, a weave specific to those islands. Rin's ancestors are from Orkney, said Cordelia. Now, for Cordelia to know this about Rin shows how important the connection to Rin is. It's a story she tells, something her close friends know about her. Here we were in Australia, about as far away from Orkney as you can get, talking about a group of islands with a current population of around 20,000 people. My family history traces back to the 1700s in Orkney, added Rin. What was the population back in the 1765 when Rin's ancestor, John Old Tufter Flett, lived in the ancient capital of Bersay? Surely much possible than 20,000. What were the chances of Rin discovering that I treasure something that connects to something she treasures about her family? I'm not going to reveal the whole story here, as it's finding its way into my new book, adding to the piece I have already written about my basket of stone eggs and their significance. But I am going to share some more on the way to exploring the light that found its way into the photo. I knew Rin from yoga, and then one evening we got to talk a little more at a party. She was excited to tell me that she was reading a book by Michael Newton about past lives and wondered how I saw dreams fitting into that. I told her that a good friend of mine trained in that author's institute and that my friend was working with the author to write a follow-up book. Not only that, but the friend's husband was staying with us at that time as a house guest. Not only that, but the friend had asked me to volunteer to be regressed into a past life to build her experience while she was training. Yes, some of you may also know that my maiden name is Newton, but there's no family connection that I know of. So when Rin looked at my Orkney basket of stone eggs and contemplated my story about my feelings of magical connections with the Orkneys and her family history connecting back to the islands, and put it together with her interest in past lives, she got the goosebumps. Can you imagine then how she felt when she looked at that photo and saw something that she hadn't seen down the lens when she took the shot? For my part, what was happening when the picture was taken? There were actually two shots, one of me looking at the smartphone camera, and this one, and the mystery light is in both. In this one, I was directed to look up to my left. There was a plane flying very high in the sky, so I watched that, all silvery sparkles in the sunlight. In both shots, unbeknown to Rin, I was focusing on offering her the basket of eggs, energetically speaking, as an Orkney connection to whatever she needed in that moment. So I too was suitably moved by the appearance of the light. The moment was so meaningful to Rin and Cordelia that, although they're both experienced photographers, they perceived orbs, not lens flare. The moment was so meaningful to me that, although I am also a scientist, I was more consumed by a burst of deeper insight into the significance of my basket of eggs and my new book than by the physics of the light in the photo. You'll need to wait for the book for more on that story. Synchronicity was at play that day, and then, that night, my dreams worked at processing these experiences and the questions. One of my dream images was a pear tree in full blossom, stunningly beautiful. I was admiring the tree when I looked through it to see a string of twinkling fairy lights looped across the window of the house behind the tree. Now, I have always called them fairy lights, but you may know them by a different name. They're the tiny party lights often strung in trees or around balconies and verandas. The rest of my dream was enlightening on all levels, but this one image is enough for here and now. In my book, there's also a story about a pear tree, and it's in the telling of the story of the pear tree in the book that I connect back to the Orkney basket of eggs. The photo had been taken under a lemon tree in our garden, but the occasion linked me back to a pear tree in another garden I once called home. That pear tree was not just a pear tree. It was a famous pear tree, and one that, that story's saved for the book too. Suffice to say, that pear tree and the synchronicities around it significantly shaped my understanding of life and its mysteries way back then when I lived there. Back to my dream. How beautifully my dreaming mind represented the light as a blend of science and magic, a string of electric lights known as and dancing as fairy lights. What is more beautiful than nature itself? What can beat a pear tree in full blossom on a spring day? Or a lemon tree to shade a basket of pebbles from an Orkney beach? Or a shaft of sunlight glinting into a smartphone lens and causing lens flare that looks like fairy lights or angel rays? And what of the beauty we intuit but cannot see? The beauty that lays behind nature? The fairy lights behind the pear tree, the interconnection of all people and all things, the spiritual nature of our being, the meaningful but sometimes mysterious pattern behind it all, the hand of the divine that shifted the Samsung smartphone ever so slightly so that the ray of sunlight would bounce just so and cause the ray of light to appear in the picture and jolt new awareness for me, for Rin, for Cordelia, perhaps now for you. When is lens flare just lens flare? When is it so much more? And lastly, to create this, to finish this trifecta on dreams and manifestation. This is a blog I wrote in August 2016 called Are Dreams Rehearsals for Life? There's a widespread theory that our dreams are mental dress rehearsals for life. Might this be true? Do we practice and learn life skills in the safe space of our dreams? Well, yes and no. The theory is usually put like this. Imagine our ancestors dreaming about being chased by wolves. Imagine them dreaming of running faster than the wolves or outwitting them in some way, reaching safety, staying alive. The theory is that while our ancestors were safely tucked up for the night in fur skins, deep inside caves, their dreams of running from danger rehearsed the coordination of their brain, nerves, and muscles, enhancing their motor skills and fine-tuning their survival techniques. Science has proven that athletes and musicians can enhance their physical performance by mentally rehearsing it during visualization, suggesting that physical muscle-nerve coordination is fine-tuned alongside mental attitude and memorizing procedures during mental rehearsal. If an athlete can run faster as a result of visualizing running faster while awake, might dreaming of running have an even better result, given that we really believe in a dream while we're in it? In a dream, if we're running from a pack of wolves, we're giving it all we've got, and surely that builds even better nerve muscle coordination than visualization while you're awake. Well, yes, it probably does, if you're running successfully in your dream. But how do you respond in dreams when you're chased by wolves? Or, to change context slightly, how do you respond in dreams when the brakes fail on the car you're driving? Or when you're about to give a presentation you haven't prepared for? These are all common dream themes, and if these were dress rehearsals for life, wouldn't you expect to dream of finding a way to use the handbrake and discover new amazing driving skills to slow the car? Or to give an ace dream presentation off the top of your head? Or to negotiate a solution that allows you time to prepare? In such dreams, you may more commonly find yourself waking up in panic as the brakeless car heads for the edge of a cliff, or helplessly watching the faces on your audience as your dream presentation bombs. Not brilliant rehearsals for life, really. But these are brilliant dreams for helping us to identify our coping patterns, our strategies for dealing or not dealing with problems and challenges in life. That no brakes car dream might help you to see that you drive yourself too fast in one area of your life, perhaps as a strategy to keep yourself too busy to address an issue or another area of your life. Or it might help you to see that you're feeling way more out of control than you admit. Or it might help you to recognize an unconscious fear of being out of control. Our dreams are unique and personal, and the other details in a dream help pinpoint the interpretation. Once you understand your dream and you identify your conscious and unconscious coping patterns and strategies, you can change them using dream alchemy techniques to achieve or manifest better outcomes in life. On the other hand, our dreams can come up with wonderful solutions to problems as we rehearse our creativity. Or we might discover in a falling dream that we can fly or land softly, rehearsing surrender. Or we might find in that dream where we are unprepared for a presentation that we can wing it, rehearsing relying on our intuition. Or we might notice in a dream of running from wolves that if we turn to face them, we hear the message they were chasing us to deliver, rehearsing learning from our fears by facing them. So, are dreams rehearsals for life? When we understand our dreams, when we understand the scripts we follow in our lives, some scripts are good and rehearsing them will take us to better places. Some scripts are not so good, and rehearsing them in our dreams consolidates the not-so-good outcomes or manifestations in our lives. If your dreams are rehearsals for the movie of your life, analyze and explore your dreams to evaluate the scripts you are bringing to life or manifesting. And that's the end of the three blogs that I chose to hopefully enlighten and inspire you about how our dreams can be used to manifest the things that you would like to manifest in your life, or give you more information about why you're not manifesting the things you would like to manifest in your life, and about how to look at your dreams, how to do dream alchemy, and how to really get that dreams are never telling you what to do, or even really showing you the way. They're reflecting where you're at now, and in particular value, showing you where your unconscious mindset is. And that's something we really don't know walking around with our eyes wide open. The dreams show you where your unconscious mindset is and what that unconscious mindset may be manifesting unless you step in to change that. Of course, our unconscious mind, as I've demonstrated by reading those things, those articles, can also be a wonderful vehicle for making you more conscious and more aware of the magic and mystery in your life and the deep and meaningful mysteries of life as well. So I hope you enjoyed that and the diversion from not having a guest on the show. And we do this from time to time, do what I call a talky podcast, because it just rings the changes. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, in other words, if you've listened to other episodes of the show, which, by the way, you can do by going to janeteresa.com, going to the menu and looking under podcasts, and you can listen to all the other 185 podcasts that we've ever created at janeteresa.com, or you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes or via your favorite podcast app. But if you'd like to be a guest on the show, go to janeteresa.com, go on the menu, look under podcasts, and you'll find there's a form that you can fill in if you'd like to be a guest on the show. And what that involves is that you can either email me your dream, and I will communicate with you by email, and we'll work out what your dream means and how it relates to your life, and then I present that in a future show. Or you volunteer to be on the end of a phone or on the end of Skype, and we call you and talk about your dream and then interpret it and record it and put it out there for everyone else to listen to. So if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, do go there. And if you'd like to hear more about the Dream Academy, which is the website that is going to be delivering the first of our e-courses later this month and many more e-courses into the future, if you'd rather not wait, if you'd like to hear about that, go to my website, go to the contact page and contact me and say, yes, please, tell me. Let me be one of the first people to hear, because I really, 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 really want to do some of your courses. I hope you've enjoyed this. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. And our next episode, episode 187, is due out on the 3rd of February 2017. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.